This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 1 Overall Process Support and Outreach Issue held on the 11th of July, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Sarah Bakke. Please begin.
Hi there, and thank you all for joining us today. This is Sarah Bakke for the record. And so today, we're going to be walking through the CCT responses that we received during our Work Track 1 questions, and that will be our primary focus. So before we begin, though, let's see if anyone has an update to their SOI. Seeing no hands, no one typing in the chat, I will presume that everyone is up to date. Also, I was going to ask if anyone had any other business that they would like to add to our agenda, anything they would like to discuss at the end of the meeting. And of course, if something comes up during the meeting, just let staff know and we can be sure to address any items. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. So with that, we'll just go ahead and pull up. There we go. This, what we're looking at is a breakdown of the comments that we received regarding our Work Track 1 questions. We're starting off with the applicant guidebook. Excuse me while I pull up my own so I can see it. I've got bad eyes. But hopefully everyone can read that. I think you have scrolling capabilities and you can adjust the font so you can actually see it yourself. So as noted here, what are the overarching questions in the community comment one? Focus on whether applicants should be accepted during defined windows. I'm on the wrong one. Hold on. Screen. One moment. Technical malfunction. Okay. Okay, the applicant guidebook serves as a roadmap for applicants, but also all other participants to the program. As such, there is a mixture of historical and practical information, some of which is relevant to only certain parties. The question was, do you think it makes sense to partition the application guidebook into different audience-driven sections or by type of application? During our previous discussions, we had noted that having less historical and policy information cut and or made to be in the background would make sense, perhaps put that information into an appendices for anyone who was interested or wanted to read it, and that providing some sort of step-by-step version by type of applicant or creating a practical guide for applying would be a better approach. So that is sort of where we were to date in our discussions, and then we were going to read through the feedback that we've received. And so first off, we hear a comment was that both suggestions make sense. And the C suggestions are categories of TLDs above. as staff is the one that put this together. I'm not exactly sure what that is referencing, but I do note that there was a comment from the NCSG, as noted at the very beginning of this worksheet, that says that the effort of having a more extensively publicized application book directed to developing countries and also translation into many languages as possible would help in reaching as many prospective applicants as possible. Acknowledging the application guidebook had been or was translated into the UN languages. Scroll is going a little crazy. Okay. So next we have a comment from INTA, where INTA has said it recognizes that additional policy work is undecided on topics that would impact development on the application guidebook partitions, e.g. whether there will be separate application types or separate registry agreements for each TLD type. Partitioning the application guidebook to cater to these specific audiences or TLD types may aid in making that material accessible for those audiences, e.g. brand applicants. However, INTA recommends careful approach, as the application guidebook is the roadmap for the applicant process, and having different types of application guidebooks or petitions of the same may lead inconsistencies in differing interpretations of guidelines, or applicants may receive incomplete information. It would be supportive of partitioning the application guidebook into different audience-driven sections. By seeking to address both potential applicants and third parties, the application guidebook in its current format is long, sometimes confusing, and difficult to navigate. It would strongly benefit from being drafted in different parts dependent on the audience. These could include a part addressed to applicants containing just the practical information necessary to them in order to complete their application. A separate part could contain information necessary to objection process, where there is historical information and other explanation of relevance or either of these parts, this could be contained in further distinct sections with clear links. The applicant guidebook would also benefit from a glossary of defined terms and acronyms. So does anyone have any further comments on this input from INTA? This sort of falls in line with what we had discussed previously within our group. Seeing no hands, I'll move on to the next comment, which was from the GAC. The GAC suggests that there be a critical assessment of whether the application guidebook should be used as a central document in the future, or whether simpler and clearer information for applicants can be provided through a single place on the ICANN website. If the guidebook is to be retained, the suggested partitions appear to have merit. Seeing no hands, I'll continue. From nominate, we have the input of no. This would increase the risk of confusion for applicants and also creates uncertainty for applications that do not fit neatly into a certain category. Next, we have a comment from the VC simply stating yes. Jim has noted that this seems like an implementation issue and not a policy issue. The brand registry group has noted, yes, the application guidebook suffers from a fundamental problem. was written for two separate audiences. The first audience was an internal one of ICANN's policy development body, the generic name supporting organization, GNSO. The guidebook attempted to explain how GNSO policy was being implemented. As a result, it included history and background. The second audience was an external one, the domain name applicant, who was interested only in the process of how to apply. As a result of trying to speak to two audiences, it failed both. From the applicant's perspective, the guidebook is overly long, confusing, duplicative, and poorly indexed. Our recommendations would be to, one, write a new application guidebook to remove duplication and unnecessary background information and create a step-by-step guide for applicants. Number and index the guidebook consistently, and two, improve the customization of documentation to differentiate between the registry operator and third-party providers of registry, back-end technical, and financial services. Three, define acronyms on first use and, where appropriate, frequently provide links to glossaries. And finally, four, petition sections to a specific type of applicant where relevant to that distinct type. I'll pause here for a moment and see if there's any comments. I see a comment from Jeff Newman saying, I think a searchable guidebook on the internet, on the ICANN website makes sense. And Jim has said, further to my answer, I don't understand how the organization and presentation of the application guidebook is a policy issue for this group to deliberate or decide. And Jeff has noted that the brand registry group comment makes a lot of sense. Going on, we have a comment from John Poole noting that guidebook needs to be rewritten. Moving on, I see that Jeff is typing in the chat. And Jeff has noted to Jim that we understand your comment, but it is a question we have in the charter. Next, we have a comment from Sylvia. The application guidebook must be a single, consistent set of procedures and rules applied uniformly across all applications. Creating multiple documents or repetitive sections will only introduce communication risks, specifically keeping content identical across multiple sections, or how to address an application that changes from a community to generic, etc. Just to name just the ICANN's goal should be a uniform process clearly articulated in a single document. Excuse me. I see there's a further comment. Jim acknowledged Jeff's comment regarding the question being in our charter. Jeff asks, do you agree with any of the comments or positions taken? And Jim admitted that he needs to review them more thoroughly. Next, we have a comment from the registry stakeholder group. They have noted, future new GTLD applications require a guiding document that instructs them how to prepare their applications to submit to ICANN and how to manage their applications through various procedures in between submitting those applications and delegating their GTLD. This document, whether it takes the form of the application guidebook or an alternative medium, should be confined to only information that is relevant to the preparation of applications and the movement of those applications through subsequent evaluation, screen contention, objection, testing, and other procedures en route to delegation. Information regarding the rationale behind certain policies or the historical context or how decisions were reached should be captured in a separate policy-oriented document that interested parties can review as desired. However, the application guidebook or its replacement will be most useful if geared specifically toward applicants. Information pertinent to other kinds of participants, such as those who may wish to file objections to applications, should also be consolidated into separate targeted documents. Readers and users of these documents will undoubtedly find shorter or targeted material easier to read through and make use of. The policy for subsequent new GTLD procedures determines that there should be a separate application type. In the sections of the application guidebook or its replacement should make specific note when variation exists among application types, such as different requirements for answering an application question, providing materials to ICANN. Application guidebook or its replacement should make clear to readers that if no variation is noted, then all applications must follow the same process or standards outlined in that section. Okay, I'll pause for a minute here, see if there's any further comments. Jeff has noted that the affiliate's position is worth noting, but could that be solved by having the single document be the authoritative source and the other simplified docs contain the appropriate disclaimers? And finally, we have a comment from ALAC saying, we see no need to fragment the guide as it may create confusion, especially when versions written for different audiences are perceived to conflict. So those are the comments that we received regarding the application guidebook. I see a comment from Jeff asking if anyone from ALAC is on the call. I'm not familiar enough, so if you are from ALAC, please raise your hand or make a comment in the chat. I see John said he is here, not ALAC, but at large. Jeff is wondering how to address the ALAC comment. Jim has asked, question, how can those who are just seeing these for the first time submit feedback after the call? I believe there's a link. I don't know, maybe staff can provide me some information. It's the link that we have open to everyone within the work track, so that they can make a comment, or is that specific to leadership? Do they just need to send a comment to the list? What is the best way to provide feedback for the youth? Anyone? Please.
Hi, sir. Thanks. This is Steve Chan from staff. Sorry, I was getting off mute. These Google documents are available for all to view. I think Krista had sent the link to the document, but they're all on the wiki. They're set to allow for comments from anyone who views the document. I believe that's what it said, if I can double check that. But so there's a couple ways. You can actually submit directly or comment directly on the Google document, but you can also submit comments to the list, which might actually be more advisable because then there's more visibility to the comments. So otherwise, you would need to actually log in the document and search for comments from anyone who made them to actually be able to see it. So just a couple ways to comment. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Steve. This is Sarah Bakke again for the record. I see a comment from Jeff, saying that our role as a working group will be to address all the comments received and whether and how we are taking those into account. Julie has provided a link to the Google Doc in the chat for anyone who is interested. These are the comments that we will receive regarding application guidebook. Does anyone have any additional comments on these? It seems like the overarching sort of consensus is that things need to be consistent, simplified, provide the information needed to make it through the process. Definitely seems that moving the policy-related information to either an appendices or a separate document is something that is of interest. Does anyone else have any comments or questions before we go on to the next topic? I see Ashley, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Sarah. This is Ashley. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Great. So a suggestion that I've got, which kind of borrows from a couple of the points that some of the commenters made. There's a few points about kind of having the guide should focus on just how an applicant submits an application, and I agree with that point to an extent. I think it would be useful to have maybe a separate module, which is just a kind of how-to guide to how to put your application together and submit it. But I think that should just be a module included in the wider applicant guidebook. I think personally that it's helpful to have all of the other sections on, for example, contention resolution, objections, and so on and so forth. Because having that context and that understanding can be quite a helpful background for any applicants. So when they're thinking about applying for a string, understanding that it's possible for others to object to their string later down the line, how that process would work, etc. Personally, I think there's not a huge amount wrong with the original applicant guidebook. It could maybe be trimmed down, remove some of the history, that kind of thing. The key point is pulling out into a kind of concise module how to actually put together and submit an application. And one other point, I think it was in the BRG comment, they mentioned an index. I think that's a really good suggestion, having some kind of index where you can easily look up particular topics. Geo names, for example, you could have that in the index, and so you can very easily find particular topics that you want in the guidebook. I don't think it's the guidebook as it is, although while I think it has mostly relevant information, it's not necessarily intuitive in how to navigate it. So an index would really help with that. That's it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. Those are all great suggestions. Does anyone else have a comment? I see a plus one from Jeff on the table of contents and an index. And he's noted that we can create a filing DTLD applications for dummies, assuming we can get the trademark rights for that. Jeff has also noted that rather than having it be a PDF, it should be searchable text, which is probably very, very helpful. Searchability is always very good. Okay, I'm not seeing more typing or hands, so I think we can move on to our next topic, which will be clarity of the application process. And Krista, would you like to run through those comments?
Sure, Sarah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so I'm going to look at section 1.3, the clarity of application process. I think that is on the Mesh OR. It's not actually in the Adobe quite yet. Can maybe update that for everyone, but
yeah,
if not,
exactly.
It's in the link. So I'll, here we go. There we go. So just a little bit of background on 1.3.1 is that the working group noted that there were a number of changes to the GTLD program after the release of the applicant guidebook. It includes processes for change requests, customer support, application prioritization, the registry agreement, etc. Many of the applicants have stated that the changes impacted their TLD applications throughout the application process, both before submission and after the applications were submitted, and this resulted in confusion, additional work, and overall dissatisfaction. For instance, the final version of the applicant guidebook was released in June of 2012, which is nearly half a year after the applicant submission period started. Another example would be the difficulty in reaching a common understanding on the requirements for procuring a continuing operations instrument, the COI. How should changes to the applicant guidebook and or any new GTLD program be handled in subsequent application windows? So there's lots of text in all this, and I'll try to go through each one. I'll start with number one, and then I'll give everyone a second to think on it, and then ask any for comments. So the first comment is the INTA, and it says pretty much INTA urges that the improvements to the AGB be made to ensure that all applicants for a new GTLD registry be evaluated against transparent and predictable criteria fully available to the applicants prior to the initiation of the process. Just added to that, and we're going to see that a whole bunch of times throughout the rest of the comments here, but it is what it is. So continuing on, in round one, changes to the GTLD program after the application submission period results in a lack of transparent and predictable criteria, raising claims of unfairness and gamesmanship. In order to ensure fairness, transparency, and non-discrimination, INTA urges the working group to consider the following. One, AGB is the proper vehicle for implementation of the GNSO new GTLD policy recommendations. And two, the AGB must be clear and unambiguous, not subject to change at community whim. Anyone have any comments on the INTA comment number one? Kurt says, wasn't it INTA that led the charge in changing the guidebook after the application window was open? People are typing. Feel free to talk, though. Kurt goes on, it's a good thing that they're against change now. I think just as I think you're confusing INTA with the National Advertising Association, or whatever they're called. I'll let the chat continue, and I'm going to jump to number two. So number two, by the GAC, and pretty much says, any regional measures that streamline application procedures, but that also enable due consideration of public policy issues raised by the GAC, as noted in the GAC's response, which I'll read in a moment. The first round of community consultation questions from the PDP working group with regard to predictability. Many GTLD policy issues require resolution at the global rather than the national level. For many purposes, in practice, this means resolution within ICANN processes to ensure consistency, as application of national laws country by country may not be sufficient. The GAC and others need a degree of flexibility to respond to emerging issues in this global space, which is operated by ICANN and a community according to contractual arrangements and community developed policies and procedures. The need for such flexibility continues after the conclusion of a GNSO PDP. Comment? Conversation still going on in the chat. Ashley says, I agree with the intake comment. It seems to be fairly unconventional that we should have predictability with AGB prior to the next application round commencing. Jeff, I think the point is raised by the GAC needs discussion. And now would be a great time for that discussion. But it's also in the topic in Work Track 3. There's a lot of overlap between this question and overarching issues on predictability and community engagement. If that's the case, we should take care to avoid duplicate of conflicting outcomes. That was from Steve. And Jeff, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So I think, as I said, just to make the point, this is going to be a critical area, and I think it intersects with the Work Track 3 work on role of GAC advice. But I do see a distinction in that while certainly we have a notion of GAC advice or input into the process, that doesn't necessarily mean that it should result in changes to the guidebook. So I do not see it. It would not necessarily be inconsistent for us to have a position that says that, yes, while we need and appreciate government advice in the process, what we're talking about here are changes to the guidebook itself, and therefore we do not see necessarily the need for as much flexibility as what the GAC comment is implying. But, again, obviously this is for discussion for the group, but I think we're specifically in talking about changes to the guidebook, we should be a lot more strict than when we deal with something like GAC advice, where I'm not saying we shouldn't be as strict, but that really is for Work Track 3 and for discussion there. But I do not see it necessarily restricting the roles of government to be more strict in an interpretation on not allowing government advice to change the guidebook.
Thanks, Jeff. Would anyone like to comment? All this silence, no typing, no speaking. I'll continue on because it might actually raise some of the other issues on that, and we'll see some other comments on what the changes, you know, people's feedback on it, especially around the prohibited strings that were changed after the fact. So I'll jump to the nominate comment, which is item number 3. And it says, confirms that the moving of goalposts during the application period was unhelpful, and we agree with the working group statements noted above. Clearly, with the benefit of all the experiences of round one, we hope, and maybe expect, that the guidebook and all the associated processes and policies are firmed up well ahead of the application period opening, and that no changes at all would be made after that point. To that end, we strongly suggest that as few changes as possible are made to the current wording, even though much of it could no doubt be simplified and improved. Even as an industry insider and with very substantial balance sheet, we found it challenging both to interpret and implement the COI requirements. The cost and expense in policy terms was very difficult to justify to prospective applicants. Comments on the nominate reply. Maybe I just put everyone to sleep, but okay, I'll move on to comment number 4 from the BC, and it's pretty short. As the CDP working group is discovering, there was much to learn about the application process from the perspectives of both the applicant and ICANN staff. For the next round, we should expect that the applicant guidebook be finalized before the application period opens. Again, the same theory that there shouldn't be any changes. Next comment, item number 5 from Jim Pendergast. If you'd like to speak with us, Jim, please let me know or raise your hand. If changes are made to the guidebook after the applications are submitted there needs to be some sort of mechanism that allows impacted applicants the chance to either receive a full refund or be tracked into a parallel process that deals with the issues directly without impacting the rest of the program. In the last round, there were no against the so-called closed generics in the applicant guidebook. Several entities applied in good faith, and ICANN accepted their $185,000 application fee. It wasn't until months, if not more than a year later, that a provision was added to the registry agreement by ICANN that prohibits closed generics. The appropriate response, in my opinion, but those who did apply should have been offered full refunds as there were no prohibitions at that time of the application. The rule of the game changed after they applied, and they should not be penalized as a result. Another example for applications include mail, corp, and home. ICANN was first made aware of the issue of name collisions via the SAC 045, which was developed by SAC on November 15, 2010. And there's a link there. ICANN's failure to address the issue prior to opening the application window has caused many issues, including sending these applications into a permanent state of limbo. ICANN collected millions in application fees from these parties, yet as stated, does not intend to offer them a full refund. If ICANN had addressed this issue prior to the opening of the window, these applications would never have been able to apply, saving the time and resources spent developing these applications. Sorry, it's a little long. Anyone have any comments? Anyone still awake? Okay. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'll give you a break to have something to drink. So I think on Jim's comment, Jim's here, which is good. I think we can all say had everything been addressed prior to the applicant guidebook being finalized, I think that would have been better. Why this one wasn't addressed? Could this issue on name collision could be. Depends on which side of the fence you fall on, I think. But what it really does is show that we still need some predictable process to address concerns brought up after the application guidebook does come out. So in the name collision issue, while some could argue, yes, it was mentioned in SAC 45, I don't think the real problems or the real advocates for the problems showed up until after the guidebook was finalized in full force. So, it's hindsight 2020, but what it shows is that we do need to have a process to address concerns that do make it to the forefront after the application round opens. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I got some coffee there, so I might be able to read faster. But, Jim, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. Yeah, and Jeff, I agree. I think you're absolutely right. Hindsight is 2020, and we certainly have the benefit of that right now going into the next version of the guidebook. So as many of the comments previous to this one that we reviewed I think the BC sums it up pretty close that it needs to be finalized full stop. I mean, I think that's the goal. How realistic that is, I don't know, but I think, you know, part of my frustration, or I shouldn't say my frustration, it's probably frustration on behalf of applicants, I'm sure, but, you know, you had this situation where the rules were changed, and suddenly, you know, folks who had a business plan in mind for a TLD were told that they couldn't pursue it, and that problem was only compounded by the position that ICANN took, which said, you know, you're not getting a refund. You can withdraw. You can get a partial refund, but we're not going to give you all your money back. And then they relied upon all the warranties and all that stuff, that the terms and conditions of the application process. So I think the goal should be finalize it, and no changes going forward. But if they're, you know, I think we all have to be practical as well, that sometimes things do arise that we can't foresee. I think the number of those will be minimized significantly by the experiences over the last 5 or 6 years. But if there is something that comes up, there has to be some sort of off-road or outlet mechanism that either gives an applicant a full refund, no questions asked, or puts them in some sort of parallel track that addresses their particular set of issues but doesn't necessarily hold up the rest of the program.
Thanks, Jim. I think all of the comments pretty much reflect the finalization on the book, and I think everyone would certainly agree that, you know, if a change occurs, then great, you know, we'll address it. But there's also comments, you know, if a change occurs, then we also need to notify people properly as well, and we'll see that in a few more comments. So any more comments on Jim's comment in item number 5? Okay, I'll skip to the next one, and my apologies, it's long, so I'm going to have to read this a little bit. This is from the DRG. The 2012 round was the first of its kind, presented many challenges, both prior to and after the application window was open. There was higher than anticipated demand, which included different models of registry. The impact of this was significant in terms of following the application process due to the areas of the applicant guidebook having insufficient detail, resulting in many challenges that were not predicted or had not been resolved prior to the launch of the new GTLD program. It is important that ICANN and the community uses the experiences and the output of the many different reviews undertaken to adjust and refine the policies, application processes, and in turn, the applicant guidebook. This should help to remove or minimize any duties, enhance predictability of the application process, and apply only relevant and reasoned restrictions and obligations on applicants. The applicant guidebook and associated policy should be adapted to encourage new applicants and different operating models that were introduced in the 2012 round to encourage innovation and user safeguards. Following this through will ensure that each future application window or process will face fewer exceptions and challenges. So I guess kind of just restating what the other ones have already, we've already kind of discussed, but I'll pause for a second in case anyone has any comments. And silence, so I'll jump to number 7, which is a nice short one by John Poole. How should changes to the applicant guidebook and or the new GTLD be handled subsequent application windows? Apply as one. Ideally, there would be no application window since the last one was such a disaster. And two, if there is another quote-unquote window, the applicant guidebook should be quote-unquote trashed. ICANN needs to start over and do it right this time. Comments to John Poole's item number 7. Nothing. I'll jump to item number 8. Which is Affiliates' comment. It is imperative that ICANN finalize the applicant guidebook prior to the starting of the program. With ample experience introducing over 1,000 new TLDs and the help of the community, this document must be finalized to ensure fairness and predictability. Comments, Alan, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. That was sort of the last point. I just got it up slow. I'm talking about John Poole's comment. the concept the applicant guidebook should be scratched and started over again, you know, that sounds like we should rename it and do it better this time. The vast bulk of it, I suspect, is still applicable. And I think the kind of comment of saying let's start from scratch again simply says let's add another 2 years to the process. And assuming we want to go ahead with GTLDs, I think we need to fix the problems. And simply trashing it and starting it over again not at all clear to me we'll do it better next time by doing it different. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I think he's actually going beyond that, saying we should just scratch all of it, but including the guidebook. But anyways, Greg, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. I agree with Alan and disagree with John Poole. There's no reason to trash the whole thing. That said, listening to the bulk of the comments over the last, 45 minutes, there are, editorial and organizational challenges that I think could be met to make the material do have a lot more user-friendly and audience-specific. A surgical approach rather than a nuclear approach makes sense. Maybe we even need to, if we have technical editors in the room, or even hire somebody to read the thing and tell us how we messed up. Professional editors and writers are begging for work these days, many of them. And we could benefit from some professional help in that regard, because it really is, it's a very good pile of stuff organized very badly, or moderately badly. I don't want to get all bad at about this, but I think we should recognize that there's a lot to be done that could make this clearer, simpler, less full of aggressions for those who want to use it, as its title indicates. And that doesn't mean throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I think it just means finding a way to deal with the challenge of taking what we've got and improving it evolutionarily. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I like your terms, surgical and nuclear bomb. It's just again for the record. Anyone else have any comments? If not, I'll try to do the last three of these pretty quick, even though they're long, and finish this one section off. Seeing no comments, I'm just going to jump into item number 9, which says the applicant's guidebook did not adequately anticipate many implementation challenges that arose during the 2012 round, which resulted in ICANN staff needing to develop processes and procedures after the guidebook was published. This often resulted in processes that were different from what was anticipated in the guidebook, and in nearly every instance created delays to the timelines of each phase that followed the application submission period. The regular stream of new procedures and the delays they caused made it impossible for applicants to have any predictability about the process to eventually delegate their GTLDs and create the need to constantly monitor ICANN's activities for new developments that would materially impact their operations. For future GTLD application procedures, any implementation processes that will be carried out over the 2012 round should be consolidated, documented, and made available to the applicant, either through an applicant guidebook type mechanism or another medium that is easily accessible for applicants. This medium should be easily searchable in a digital format and easily printed. Where process and procedural changes are further required after the new applicant guidebook or its replacement is published, those changes should be clearly documented in a medium that is easily accessed by all applicants, and ICANN should make every effort to communicate these changes directly to applicants. Where possible, ICANN should note which portion of the applicant guidebook or its replacement is being altered, how, and on what basis, i.e. recommendation from the community, staff addressing procedural issues, etc. Where necessary, ICANN should also make very clear the timeline on which the changes will take place and if the changes will impact the time it takes the applications to proceed through evaluation to delegation. Additionally, an appeal process should be instituted that will allow an applicant to appeal a process or procedure decision made by ICANN that would adversely impact the visibility of the applicant's application. Sorry. I'm just going to jump through two more, and then I'll open up the floor. Item number 10 by the ALAC says the response to 1.1, such operational issues are a little concern to the general public. Item number 11, Valadeus, the need for major changes to the AGB application processes once a given application window has opened should be minimized or ideally eradicated, since it causes severe disruption to business planning and budgeting. However, if there is exceptional circumstances in which the AGB application processes needs to be changed, prompt and clear communication to the applicant community is key. Transparency and credibility of application timelines should also be enhanced in future rounds, and the ICANN should ensure that no future new GTLD rounds begins without a detailed, realistic, publicly available review of expected timelines for the application processes. Since applicants do not have the luxury of missing deadlines and extending timelines, that neither should ICANN save in the most exceptional of circumstances. Where timelines are missed during future rounds, ICANN should ensure prompt reporting to the community of 1. Why the timeline was missed, and 2. What measures have been taken to avoid repeat occurrence. And I'm just going to jump in the last one. I'll open up the floor just for time. Item number 12, application change request process. The issue during the 2012 round application, during the 2012 application round, the subsequent evaluation period, there was no clear process for applicants to follow if they wanted or needed to make changes to the new GTLD application. Given how long the evaluation process took, a number of applicants found it necessary to submit their changes to their application in order to maintain the accuracy of these applications. Without a clear procedure in place from the outset, ICANN staff was forced to create procedures on the fly, creating a burden on applicants to keep up with the changes. Recommendation, a formalized procedure for making changes to new GTLD application based on what worked well during the 2012 round should be developed and made widely available to applicants prior to the future application procedures. Next, registry agreement. The issue, the 2012 application applicant guidebook featured a baseline version of the new GTLD registry agreement, but the final text of the agreement that the new GTLD applicant eventually signed differed substantially from the published version. So I'm losing my voice. And finally, the recommendation, a final or near final version of the baseline registry agreement should be published and made available to new GTLD applicants in advance of any future application procedures. Any comments on, I know I kind of did those ones quickly, but any comments on the last four? I see Kurt's typing. I'll give it a second. If not, we might be. So Kurt says, looking at the last line of the comment, it's almost word for word the same as the existing policy. And Jim says, agree with the agreement being finalized ahead of time as well. And Ashley, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Thanks, this is Ashley. So I've got a process question. How are we envisaging coming to any potential policy recommendations? It's just struck me looking through the comments on the applicant guidebook and what people have been saying in the chat and on the call that you know, there's a fairly strong theme of an agreement around, you know, having predictability and there not being any or at least minimal changes to the applicant guidebook once a future round opens. So I don't necessarily want to presume anything, but I wondered at what stage we would perhaps start to make any preliminary recommendations, or you know, are we kind of going to do that as we go along, or do that towards the end? So yeah, just a bit of clarity on that, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Ashley. And I see Jeff got his hand immediately raised, so Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Ashley. That's a good question, and we've probably said this sort of up front. So this is our second reading of a lot of these issues. So what we're doing is incorporating the comments in with the second reading. And then the plan is to do exactly what you were talking about, Ashley, is to see what the common thread is. Obviously, there are some outliers, and some people don't feel like, you know, any of this is worth it, and you have some comments in here. But really to take the strong trends and put them into policy recommendations so that once we finish going through the comments in the second reading, we can then go back and say, okay, based on the comments and our discussions, here is what we would propose as being the recommendation. So you'll get kind of a straw person recommendations from the leadership team, which, again, are just placeholders, which could change. But that's kind of one of our jobs is to try to incorporate all of this feedback into some concrete recommendations where we can.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. It's just for the record. And we are right on the hour. Oh. Sorry, can you not hear me? I think you can. So I'd like to thank everyone for their and I'm not sure when the schedule is sorry, it's Krista, Terry. I'm not sure exactly the schedule of the next meeting. Does anyone have that right in front of them? If not, we will – oh, thank you, Terry. It's July 25th is our next call at 2000 UTC, and we will again send out the agenda ahead of time, and we would encourage everyone to pre-read it so we don't really have to sit here and read it for everyone. So thank you again for everyone's time, and – Sarah, do you have any last comments?
Just thank you all for attending today. We appreciate your input.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.